Kent, thank you for being with me today. Now, the last time you and I talked, we spoke about puncture protection of lining systems. And we were looking at differences between, especially the United States and Europe. Today, I would like to ask you a bit more about lining systems, and in particular about one growth area material, and this is multi-component geosynthetic clay liners. Now, you've done a lot of work with GCLs over the years, both with, you know, your work at NAWA and your research there and your work in the field, but also with standardization committees around the world, whether it's ISO, ASTM. But multi-component GCLs are kind of a unique departure from the traditional geosynthetic clay liner. Can you begin by telling us a little bit about how they differ and how they've come to be?
Sure. It's a pleasure always speaking with you, and thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about that. Multi-component GCLs, as you said, a geosynthetic clay liner, is also called bentonite mat, and you have between two textile components. Typically, you needle punch sodium bentonite, which is a high-swelling clay, which acts as the barrier. And these materials have been used since the 80s, and very successful, and millions of square meters are installed, and they work perfectly. Now, a new development came out years ago, and these are called multi-component GCLs, and many people ask, what is that? And basically, it's easily said, it's a basic geosynthetic clay liner, and you add another barrier, synthetic barrier, to it. And there's two ways doing this. You can either use a coated geosynthetic clay liner or a laminated geosynthetic clay liner. And the difference between those is that laminated material is you take something like a geofilm. Typically, we're talking about thin materials, mm-hmm. not geomembrane, sure. Not like 1 millimeter, 2 millimeters. And I'll get to that a bit later. And you superimpose it and bond it by using another adhesive material. And you then have heat and pressure and bond those materials together. So you basically take this barrier system and, easily speaking, glue it on top of a geosynthetic clay liner. Now, we all know that if you use polyethylene material, nothing really sticks long-term on those mm-hmm. Materials, so it would be a short-term or mid-term solution. So we decided to go in the direction and use a coated geosynthetic clay liner. And what is the difference between lamination and coating? Coating is basically you apply the synthetic in a fluid form to the GCL, sort of like you're extruding a geomembrane. It's not sure. Solidified yet. And then you allow that fluid to solidify while you're connecting it to the needle punch fibers which go through the geosynthetic clay liner, and you have a direct bond, and it's not gluing, and it's considered as a long-term bond. So that's basically what the difference is between these two materials. Now, in terms of an application, why are we doing this? I've been asked the question, don't you trust the bentonite anymore? Of course I trust the bentonite, but there are situations where the bentonite might need some support. And we all know this. Nowadays, you have a car yep. with airbags and with anti-slippage in the wheels and whatever. And you have these backup systems, like computers have backup systems. You don't really want it to crash, but it could happen. Now, it's similar with a geosynthetic clay liner or a multi-component geosynthetic clay liner. It's my backup system. Where nowadays yeah. we have to protect the environmental much stronger than in the past, and groundwater protection is a big issue. So relying on one system which works is fine, but having a backup system which is going to additionally give it benefits, and if you allow, I'd like to speak a bit about the benefits of this multi-component GCL.
Yeah, please do.
And the thing is, bentonite absorbs water and hydrates with water, and then it swells. I think our listeners know that.
Yeah.
So every geotechnical material which absorbs water can also give the water away again when it the conditions are there, like desiccation, sun, and then these swelling materials will desiccate and shrink, and then you have a crack pattern in the bentonite. That's common knowledge. And of course, in that time, if in that period under a road, maybe an accident with a truck happens and something could leach out, then the GCL is not fully hydrated. I mean, of course, you can build with enough cover soil and prevent this desiccation, but now that's another advantage. I can reduce my cover soil material by using a multi-component GCL, meaning that the coated material is towards the top side where my heat comes from, the sun or the desiccation comes from, and now my water in the bentonite cannot evaporate away. So my my bentonite stays hydrated, stays in the gel form, and acts as a barrier, and this with my coating material on top of that. So that would be one of the main advantages. I now have a system which is not undergoing this weather-dependent cycle. Like in the summer, when it gets warmer, it doesn't rain, there's a possibility that it can desiccate. So that is one major benefit I have. The second thing is, as I mentioned earlier, is of course sometimes I have chemicals or salt conditions, like in areas where I have de-icing, you use salt water. Salt and bentonite doesn't perfectly match together. It can reduce the swelling of the bentonite. So now I can, if I know that I am having some kind of critical chemicals which could, I don't want to say damage, but can affect the performance of the bentonite, now I can protect against those.
Yeah.
And now I have two benefits at the same time. I'm preventing desiccation and I'm protecting against this type of chemical. And you can continue, and I don't want to go through all the benefits of it, but another one is, I mentioned earlier, I can reduce the cover soil thickness, which is a cost issue. I don't have to bring it to a landfill or deposit anywhere, or I don't have to excavate that deep and transport the material away. At the same time, these multi-component GCLs also reduce root growth into the bentonite, because bentonite, again, has water. Roots like water. And obviously, if there's a coating on top of it, the roots don't identify the water source underneath of those. So those are, let's say, three of a few other benefits I've not mentioned yet. And I think that's a really, really good idea if I can upgrade my geosynthetic clay liner.
Now, what are some of the chief applications then we can use this in? I mean, you've mentioned like installations under roads, for example, where you're doing environmental protection. If we're looking at guarding against root penetration, are we talking about, I don't know, canal lining or what are the typical situations you're seeing these multi-component geosynthetic clay liners utilized in?
Oh, you basically mentioned already two of them.
Yep.
Most people would probably think of landfills. Again, most parts of the world, landfills are regulated, so there's not much room to use a geosynthetic or a multi-component geosynthetic clay liner, because we have regulations and they're quite straightforward. That's not it. Also, I want to make clear that the multi-component part of my GCL can never really replace the traditional geomembrane. That's not the concept of this.
Yeah.
No, it's not a geomembrane.
That's an important point.
Yeah, absolutely. It might have the same benefits as a geomembrane. Like in our case, we're using the same raw material, the same resin as for our high quality geomembranes, so the durability is not an issue, but they're still a bit different manufactured. They're thinner. Mm-hmm. We're not talking, as I said, over 1 millimeter, typically down to 0.2 millimeters up to 1 millimeter. That's the range where we use them. So landfills, yes, you can use it, maybe in parts where they don't have these regulated landfill regulations, then obviously, and those countries might not have the financial resources as well, and from doing nothing to going to a double line system with a geomembrane or a geosynthetic clay liner could be too expensive for them, then obviously that would be a solution. Now, groundwater protection, I mentioned under roads, that's a very big issue. because car accidents can happen. You have gasoline, you have leakage, you have rubber abrasion. All those things could go into the groundwater. And if you're now building, like in several parts of Europe and in Germany, you're building roads through water-sensitive areas where you collect your drinking water, you have regulations where you need to protect that. Mm-hmm. And especially in Germany, we have some really keen regulations where geosynthetics are described. They're not anymore an alternative to traditional mineral clay liners. They are at the same level.
Yeah.
They're in the regulation or in the requirements. And those are the applications where I would, for safety reasons, always use these type of materials.
Yeah.
The next part is in Germany, for example, we're doing a lot of construction debris recycling. So old roads are recycled.
Yeah.
Those materials in the past went to a landfill, but they're construction material. They're too valuable. And resources are important nowadays. So instead of mining new gravel material, we can use old gravel material or crushed concrete. And of course, they have some, how should I say, they have some environmental damaging substances there which could evaporate or be washed out.
Yeah.
So now you're in the situation, bring them to a landfill, but it's good construction material. But now you can build a dam structure and cover those before you put topsoil or your gravel mm-hmm. material on top of it, and you're preventing infiltration of water
yeah.
and then, of course, a washing out of those environmental sensitive subjects. You also mentioned canal lining systems. Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. In a canal, what do we have there? Or it can be any stormwater storage pond or anything else. At the moment where I have a high waterhead, and we're talking maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 meters, and the subgrade conditions are not ideal for a GCL. For example, coarse material. Now, bentonite, if it gets hydrated and you have a high water pressure on top of it, you could see some erosion of the bentonite.
Yeah.
Because it's jelly and it has a jelly limit, and then it could just pipe out of my core. You want to prevent that. And in that case, you could, of course, use geosynthetic clay liner with a composite woven, non-woven material, which reduces that type of piping. But if you use a coated material, there's no flow through, and if there's no flow through, there's no piping.
Yeah, yeah. So when we go to a multi-component geosynthetic clay liner, I mean, the traditional GCL or classic GCL, often with non-woven, you know, very durable non-woven geotextiles, are generally, they've got great frictional characteristics. That keeps getting better with manufacturing technology. Now, if you go to a multi-component, you have this membrane. Does that impact the frictional characteristics or interface at all, the values for that?
That's a very good question. Matter of fact, recently I had a presentation and I didn't want to go into values because it's always dangerous if you give
sure.
an engineer a value and say this multi-component GCL or this regular yeah. GCL will have a friction angle of 28 degrees.
Yeah, you can't speak for everything. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He'll take it and maybe design with it, and maybe the subsoil conditions won't allow to do that.
Yeah.
Absolutely correct, and that's valid for every design. The design engineers and the people responsible for the design, they have to know the frictional properties of the materials against soils, the internal friction values. Otherwise, it's going to be difficult to design. So in this case now, to answer your question, I'll just have a look on the GCL on its alone. So if I take it, the geosynthetic clay liner as it is, typically you have on the one side it's a non-woven, on the other side a woven material. Now the non-woven material has a better friction property to subsoils than the woven side, which is clear. Woven is a bit more smoother, and therefore you have a higher friction with the non-woven. Now since we're attaching the multi-component material, the coating material, to the woven side, we have to have a look on the frictional properties. Now, if we go with a relatively thin material, something like the 0.2 millimeters, it's a smooth surface. And this smooth surface, if I now take a rough number, you know, not for design, I'm pointing this out very clearly, then I can achieve about 15 degrees against sand or against a geotextile. There's a little roughness on the surface. And again, we're just talking now for our coated material. You can't apply that to all of them.
Yeah, certainly.
But if we go thicker, we are capable of producing these materials with frictional surface on it. So we have some dimples on the material, which are extruded on directly during the manufacturing process. And then an 0.5 millimeter material would have round about 25 degrees, maybe 24 degrees, just as a rough number, against sand and against a geotextile component, a nonwoven component. And if I go up to the 1 millimeter material, which is already considered as a geomembrane, then we are looking at friction values which can exceed 30 degrees against the same sand material. So yes, we're capable of supplying those type of materials. But again, if that's not enough, if you want to build steeper or if you want to use a thin element with only these just mentioned 15 degrees friction values, you can always design with GeoGrids materials on top of it and increase the slope angle. Yeah. But still, I have to point this out, it's still in the responsibility of the designer to confirm those numbers.
Always, always.
Always, and you're always in a good position if you can verify those with shear tests.
Yeah. So with multi-component geosynthetic ladle aligners, we're essentially, this is GCLs as we've used them in the past, only now we have enhanced performance.
Right.
Yeah. We can do more with them now.
It's definitely better than what I've seen in the past, what happened. I mean, we all know that sometimes you try to improve your pricing on that. I mean, not us. We're all under competition. Yeah. And then I've seen in the past that people start reducing the mass per unit area of the bentonite to a certain degree where it's getting critical. And that doesn't work like that. I mean, the old saying, we know that if you buy cheap, you buy twice. Yeah. I think that's not rocket science. Yeah. That's clear. So our concept is much more is we want to ensure that the product supplied is going to perform as it's supposed to. And it's always, I think it's a good idea to spot the weaknesses of any type of product and improve it. And that's what we basically are doing with the multi-component GCLs. The weaknesses are not in terms of that the product is weak or something like that. The weaknesses are just it has issues with desiccation, with the roots, and I'm adding those benefits to it.
It's solving typical engineering challenges.
Exactly.
That you would do.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what is the future then for multi-component GCLs? Do you see another wave coming? I mean, does it look like, okay, this is going to, we're going to focus on this particular area in manufacturing or this particular area in design? Or, you know, what can we look forward to with these beyond what they're already doing?
Now, obviously, as an engineer, I would always say, let's be on the safe side.
Yeah.
You know, and that would mean I would take this type of product, multi-component GCL. Not because we're producing it and we want to sell it and have more profit on it. That's not my thinking. I'm really looking into the environment and saying I'm improving something, like we do with cars. Cars and planes and everything, they always improve, and we get better. And obviously, you have to pay for that. So the educational part is that we teach and explain to the people the benefits of these materials, and they have to obviously then... the design engineers have to sell it to the contractors or to the owner and the operator and say you're getting these benefits out of it. You're extending the lifetime of your project. Now, I know it's not that easy nowadays because the people have a certain budget and they don't want to suddenly spend a few dollars, euros, name it, more, just to have more safety because they say, oh, the other one's going to work. But again, it's the responsibility of the design engineer to ensure that here you have a product which is going to work, it's going to be better for you. So yes, I do see that there's going to be an increasing demand with these type of products because nowadays we're thinking more and more environmental protection, and that's exactly what we're achieving with these type of products.
Well, Kent, that is it's exciting stuff. It's been interesting to see it develop. I know you led symposium with ASTM a handful of years ago, and we've seen the market grow even more since then, and more designers coming into it and helping build that story and the project record. It's fantastic, and I look forward to seeing what else comes.
Well, that's great. I really like doing those things. Teaching and educating the people is a big part of creating or growing the business, and these symposiums and workshops, they really help us also to understand what the needs are from the other side and go in that direction. And I'm happy to have many people around who support us on these things and appreciate that I had the time to give you some of my thoughts.
Ken from Albuge, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for sharing your insight.
Chris, thank you very much.